You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Live Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Fantasy Sports Live. Listen each day on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, or at FantasySportsLive.com. Now, here are your hosts.
Howdy, folks. Crazy Gaby here. Welcome to another beautiful morning. I am here, as always, with my good friend, my dearly beloved, Justin, also known as Big Italy 42. What's going on, brother?
Hey, not much, man. Up here drinking my coffee, just getting ready for the day.
Listen, I was keenly reminded last night, you and I, of course, from the same area of the country, separated by about 30, 40 minutes. You're farther up north than I am. Had some bad storms roll through out of nowhere last night. Lost power here. How about you?
No, hardly anything at all. I saw a little bit of lightning, a little bit of thunder, but it was 15, 20 minutes here, nice and easy. I didn't get much of anything.
See, it was crazy here. It was like sustained 50-mile-per-hour winds, crazy lightning, like a torrential downpour to the point where like it sounded like the house was literally going to fall down. It was raining so hard along with the wind. And I was keenly reminded last night of how screwed I would be if the grid went down.
Yeah.
Like, I have literally zero survival skills. If I don't have a computer to sit in front of and do my job, I literally know nothing. I have no idea what I'm supposed to. Like, the post-apocalyptic society that we'll all eventually be a part of one day, if the conspiracy theorists are correct, I have no part in it, Justin. I have absolutely zero roles.
Yeah, I have zero desire to take part in that. I think I could survive, but I don't know that I would want to, because if I don't have technology, I'm pretty much useless.
Yeah, I'm not pretty much useless. I'm definitely useless. Every time the power goes out and I can't fall asleep because I don't have a fan to turn on in my room, I'm more reminded than ever of the fact that I just have absolutely no chance of survival. So here's to technology. We can both raise our coffee mugs this morning to that. And perhaps I should put it on my agenda sometime in the future to gain a few more rugged, manly attributes than I have now, because I enjoy the pampers of luxury far too much, probably more than I should.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we all enjoy the nice things like fans while we sleep and all that. I'm the same way. I actually sleep with a fan on and the TV on. I set sleep time so it turns off eventually, but I can't sleep in complete silence. I gotta have something going on.
Yeah, I listen to music. Actually, explosions in the sky are my jams.
Actual explosions in the sky?
No, I mean, you're familiar with the band, right?
No, I don't think so.
Explosions in the Sky, instrumental band, absolutely amazing.
I gotta look that up. I don't think I ever heard it.
It's absolutely nuts that you've never heard it. But we got a jam-filled podcast today. We got our normal stuff, but I've also got a nice little segment with a buddy of mine, Nick Raducanu. He is one of the better Twitter follows out there. I absolutely love joking back and forth with him. Trust me, if you don't follow him, go ahead and give him a follow. He'll give you a follow back. You can tell him Crazy Gaby sent you when you when you ask him for that. He'll know what it means. We're going to be talking some daily fantasy baseball with him. Also, he's got a nice unique angle to give us in light of his kind of, I was going to say upbringing, but not really upbringing, more or less his background. He was a season-long fantasy player. He's made the, season-long fantasy analyst, actually. He made the transition to a daily fantasy analyst, kind of saw the value in moving into that space. And so I think he's got a pretty unique perspective about what it's like to make the switch from season-long to fantasy. So we'll be talking with him in a couple of minutes. Actually going to switch up the order of the podcast just a little bit because of that interview. We're going to put it first here in just a second as soon as we touch on some of the draft day winners. And then this was a pre-recorded spot, so you can listen to he and I talk, and then Justin and I will be back a little later in the podcast to go through your weather concerns, your Vegas lines. And of course, Justin, you have to give your 2 cents.
Absolutely. I got some good ones for you tonight, some cheap ones.
I was going to say, you do have some good ones. And in fact, one of them was when you messaged me on Skype and told me who it was all capitalized. So I know it's going to be good.
Excited.
Let's see. So we had some big winners last night over here at Draft Day in the featured contest. The 109 Field of Dreams, $2,500 prize pool. Our very own Luke Rohr took second place. So very nicely done, my friend. Great job. Took Matt Adams, was the high scorer of the night. But D.B. Sultan, a name that we're used to seeing at the top, did a very nice job rostering Jose Abreu and his dong. We called it yesterday on Fantasy Sports Live. And he took Kyle Seager as well. Not exactly a heralded player. A lot of people like John Lackey, but he believed in Seager, and Seager paid off for him. So very nicely done. Do we have any other big winners here in the Field of Dreams? Any guys that finished out of the money you'd like to give a shout-out to?
No, we had three more guys that were in the money. Run It Up, MT Real Talk, and Mr. Wonderful. Everybody else, better luck next time. No shout-outs for you.
All right, moving over to the $15 knuckleball. This is a great tournament to get into. It's a little bit more in my price range than the 109 Field of Dreams. I love getting in the Field of Dreams when I can enter through a $5.50 qualifier, but this knuckleball tournament, I'm in there each and every night. Unfortunately, it didn't work out for me last night, but it did work out for Beamstar33. Took Marcus Stroman as his value pitcher pick, under $10,000. Guy picked up 48 fantasy points. If you remember, actually, last night on Fantasy Sports Live, I talked about how I did not believe Stroman was as bad as people were making him out to be. And in fact, our very own Josh Shepherdson and his daily fantasy baseball picks to quick singled out Marcus Stroman as a potential source of value. I don't believe he wrote him up, but he did say that Stroman, or did he write him up yesterday?
I'm not sure if he was on there. It might have maybe a mention, but not a,
yeah, I remember reading about him on there. I'm pulling it up here real quick. I do want to see that because we should give Josh his due and proper if he called it. No, it was a mention. It was not an actual write-up, but I do know that he did talk about Marcus Stroman not being as bad as we thought and definitely being a potential source of tournament value. So nice call, Josh, and very nice call here to our first-place finisher, Beamstar33. Who else took down some money last night in the knuckleball?
We had Cab912, Beamstar again, Upper Deckers, and Dan Traveler.
Nice job, Dan Traveler. I like that name. Is that like Blues Traveler?
It's got to be. Some kind of play on words with that.
All right, over to the $3.30 Wiz Walkoff. Beamstar once again taking it down with his 299 score. Just leagues upon leagues better than everybody else. Managed to take Logan Morrison at a crazy low price, 5,450, 2.1% drafted. That was the difference maker for him, as Morrison picked up a ridiculous 90 fantasy points, 4-for-4, 2 home runs, 4 RBIs. Just an absolutely crazy night, and I don't think we'll see another night like that from him for the rest of the season. But very nicely done, Beamstar. And tell me who we had rounding out the money.
We had Cameron, 1551, Tony, 167, Beamstar again, and Cab, 912.
All right, very nicely done. Heading over here to the Rapid Fire Max, actually. Rapid Fire and Rapid Fire Max, of course, two of the better ways to get acclimated to playing daily fantasy sports if you've never given it a try before. It's basically a pick 'em game with five groupings of two players. You just got to choose which of the two is going to score more fantasy points. Rapid Fire lets you choose 3 out of 5 correct and win double your money. Rapid Fire Max, you get 5 out of 5 correct. You're actually going to get 20 times your money. You can even play Rapid Fire Max for free by heading over to draftday.com right now. So do not delay. Head over there and go ahead and check things out, and you'll be ready when the Rapid Fire picks are released later this afternoon. Justin, how did you do in your Rapid Fire game last night?
I did get 3 out of 5 to win the regular Rapid Fire. I didn't win the Rapid Fire Max. I had Jose Abreu, Robinson Cano, and Billy Hamilton. I lost out on Matt Holliday versus Adrian Gonzalez with the home run.
Yeah.
And Adam Lind had a home run of 4 RBIs in, I believe, the first 2 innings last night. So Viciado with his 18 points had a decent game, but I was pretty much done on the Rapid Fire Max after that big start by Toronto last night.
Well, buddy, you know what they say, right?
Better luck next time?
No, you're terrible. That's why you didn't win. Trust me, I asked them. That's what they said.
I can't disagree with that in Rapid Fire Max. I can't seem to get more than 3.
Well, you know what? 3 out of 5 is all you need to keep doubling your money. Let you take a shot at the Rapid Fire Max and make sure you don't lose anything. So that's the beauty of this. You play the Rapid Fire and the Rapid Fire Max, and you're never upset if you don't get the 5 out of 5 because you just get 3 out of 5. Super easy, super simple, and you're basically still staying at break even.
Yeah, could be much worse than that. Give yourself a chance at some big money and make back the money you lost, worst case.
Exactly. All right, we're going to go ahead and bounce out here for just a moment. Got this interview with my buddy here that I was telling you about. And we will be back in just a few to give you the rest of your daily fantasy baseball analysis. All right, special guest now joining us here on the podcast is a good friend of mine. You can find him on Twitter at Project Roto. We're going to talk about that in just a second. Nick Raducanu, how's it going there, buddy?
Oh, I was so close. I'm good, man. How you doing?
Not bad. Here's the thing. When I can't say names, I just do my best to butcher them in a funny way because I had no chance at all. Unless your name is Antetokounmpo and it's difficult, I'm not getting it.
Dude, I've learned how to spell that, unfortunately, and I don't know what that says about me, but I can spell that by memory.
Yeah, you do the Roto-World blurbs, actually.
So, I do, and that's partly a reason why I know how to spell it, yes.
Well, you know what? Right off the bat, I want to give you a chance to tell us what's going on because you're actually a buddy of mine. I've known you now for over a year. You were at a different site previously. Now you're over at projectroto.com. Tell me a little bit about what you guys do there.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, I was at Fantasy Trade 411. That's something I started. And, you know, honestly, I'd probably tell you they're more or less the same site with a little bit of a rebrand. So with Fantasy Trade 411, the short story, really, I started that about 3.5 years ago, something like that. And I more or less just did it on a whim, never really thought out the name or the strategy. I never had a business plan or anything like that. And I actually just started it as a Twitter account for fun. Eventually, I was like, I need more than 140 characters, turned it into a blog, took off, you know, decently. And, you know, it got to be one of those things where the branding was kind of messed up, where it was like Trader X, Fantasy Trader 411. Nobody knew what to say, where to find me. So, you know, I sat down and I was like, I want to simplify this, Project Roto, nice and easy to remember, easy to spell, easy to find the URL. And I kind of wanted to whittle down what we were doing at Fantasy Trade 411, which was very much a catch-all. It was really no different than a lot of things you would see out there. And I'm trying to make Project Roto a little bit more, I guess, quality over quantity. And I just don't want to be pumping out articles just for the sake of pumping out articles or videos or podcasts or whatever. So I've been trying to take a tact of really, you know, teaching people how to play fantasy rather than just saying, you know, I like this guy. And we do that. But I want people to walk away saying, I know why Nick recommended that guy rather than I know Nick recommended that guy. And, you know, maybe that's a little bit dumb in long term because people in hopefully a year from now don't need me. But at the same time, you know, I think it's a good proliferation of the fantasy industry and growing fantasy sports. And again, you know, I think the more you can teach people to think on their own, the better. And, you know, to be honest, I still ask people, I've asked you before on, you know, trade advice or who to start tomorrow. And, you know, even anybody that researches 10 hours a day still probably wants some sort of gut check. So, you know, hopefully people keep coming back. But at the same time, I hope I'm teaching them kind of how to think for themselves a little bit.
That is absolutely magnificent, especially the first part of your story. Because let me tell you something. You said a lot of good things there. But what I heard was one of the most kick-ass humble brags, I think, in history. It's kind of like, yeah, so I started this Twitter account kind of by accident almost, just wanted to talk. And I realized, you know, I had a lot of good stuff to say, so I went ahead and started a blog. Well, I just couldn't stop it. It got popular. People wouldn't stop asking me questions. I was famous. You know, fig leaves and grapes getting fed to me. I had to go and do something else. Dude, that's awesome. I really am happy for you. You said what? It's been a course of 3 years, and you've managed to turn this into something really special.
And yeah, and you know, I'm not going to sit here and say I have anything great to say over anybody else, but you know, people like it, I suppose. So yeah, humble brag, whatever. But you know, it is what it is.
No, I love it. Of course, I know that wasn't your intention, but dude, I absolutely love it. I'm always pleased to see it when friends of mine succeed, and I'm definitely glad you're here to talk with us a little bit. And I especially wanted to get your take because, you know, hearing what you just said, you have a very unique angle. You know, we might have a lot of listeners, a lot of people who have played fantasy sports season long before, but they're just getting acclimated to daily fantasy sports. So what could you say is coming from the other side? You know, you were a content provider for season long, you moved over to daily. What were some of the biggest challenges and what's some of the best advice you could give to new players coming into this whole scene?
Yeah, I mean, I still do both. Like I love, you know, I started playing season long baseball, gosh, like 22 years ago now. When I was 11 years old, I did my first baseball league, and we did an in-person auction. I drafted Ken Griffey. I had Ken Griffey Jr., you know, back when he was, you know, young. And you know, as we had I think it was CompuServe or Prodigy or whatever it was, we were sending in our lineups weekly and making trades over the phone.
So Netscape, like, Navigator.
Yeah, it was like it was probably before that, actually. But yeah, so, you know, I have a very long history with seasons, so it's got a special place in my heart. But you know, I think with daily, like, you either embrace it or you get left behind. And I think that's the best advice I can give to both fantasy websites as well as fantasy players. I mean, you know, I see people on Twitter argue like fantasy season long is better than daily. Daily is better than season long. And I don't know why they have to be mutually exclusive. I mean, I do both of them. I enjoy both of them. I think they can help each other, to be honest with you. Maybe even more so daily helping season long people. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, one of the challenges for me with season long is, you know, it was tough, just kind of my love of season long, a part of it. And I have in my Twitter kind of nickname or whatever, Trader X, I love trading. So, you know, I miss that aspect of it with daily, but at the same time, you know, I dig looking into stats. You know, when I was playing when I was 11 years old, and I still do this, I'd always look at the newspaper every morning. I'd look at box scores. And now with the internet, obviously you can kind of take that a step further. And, you know, my morning routine, I get a cup of coffee and I look at a website like FanGraphs, or, you know, I'll dig into the splits on ESPN or whatever websites out there that I can find. You know, I like looking at stats, and I like kind of digging into, you know, maybe 10 years ago, I would say, oh, wow, I really, you know, I don't know, Alex Rios, he's a really good player. I'm going to pick him up. But I never really looked into why. You know, I always kind of went off of gut. I went off of, oh, he's on a hot streak or whatever. And now I kind of, or not kind of, I really dig into, okay, well, he's mashing lefties. I need to start him against lefties, or I'm making this up, or, you know, whatever. He's got a great WOBA on the road, or whatever it is. You know, it's really interesting to me to kind of dig into those stats. And you can use stats to kind of tell any story, to be honest with you, but numbers don't lie for the most part. So I think just if you're a season long person and you're getting into daily, kind of forget about the season long stuff in terms of like, I'm going to pick a guy up on a hot streak, or I'm going to buy low, sell high. I mean, in daily, that doesn't really matter for the most part. I mean, it's a one day thing. You know, going against one pitcher is very different than going against, you know, another pitcher on the same team. So, you might like a guy in one game in a series, but you might hate the same guy in the, you know, a day later in the same series. So, you know, I think season long people need to kind of, almost put like blinders on to what happened the day before or what might happen the day after. And really kind of get, tunnel vision into that one day and look at the right stats and really just embrace it. You know, I think a lot of season long people are very reticent to get into daily. And again, it's not an either or scenario for me. I like doing them both.
Yeah. And I don't have my, my little, I'm going to get a little bell to ring whenever I hear a word I really like. Reticent. Very nice. First of all,
that SAT was a word, baby.
That is definitely one of my favorite words. But you talked about how daily can help season long almost more than season long helps daily, and I couldn't agree more. When I you know, first started playing season long fantasy football, I think that's how most people get into all of this. It was a little difficult navigating the waiver wire, especially, you know, when you were looking at a bunch of subpar options trying to figure out who was going to break out. Daily fantasy, you know, is what taught me, and I'm sure you as well, how to really, really dig into you know, predictive models, and whether that's, you know, a piece of paper and a pen and just looking through box scores and making your best judgment call, or some people actually have, you know, algorithms or systems. Sure. And spreadsheets they can put it into. Whatever the case may be, it really teaches you to look at the future and look at multiple factors and understand how those factors can affect future performance. And I think that's the biggest thing, is that if you're killing it in daily fantasy, you should be killing it at least in your waiver wire and trading. Maybe your season-long picks at the beginning of the draft weren't great, but you should be able to, how do you say it nicely, unload a few assets off of a fellow league mate.
Well, yeah, and you brought up football. I mean, football is, you know, basically 17 weeks of daily football, or of daily. So, you know, it's like if you're killing it week to week on FanDuel or DraftKings or DraftStreet or DraftDay or whatever, you should be killing it in your season long league, because you're figuring out the right matchups. You know, you're figuring out which teams suck against running backs. You're figuring out which teams, you know, are susceptible to wide receiver twos or whatever. You know, you're figuring out all these pieces of info where if you're in a season long league, you can look at the next week and be like, all right, here's what I learned in week two, and I'm going to apply it for week three. And like you said, my waiver wire pickups, my start sits, all that season long stuff that we struggle with.
So I got to ask you right off the gate, or not right out of the gate. I messed something up. It's like a tradition. I say something wrong every
single interview. You need a buzzer, like one of those Family Feud, like,
Okay, so that'll be my mess up for this interview. So I have to ask you something before we close out. Do you have any plays for me tonight? Because I'm tired of doing work. I put together 5 guys every single night. I'm telling you what, I need a break. Please tell me you have something.
You know what? When you asked me to come on earlier today, you were like, "Hey, can you do this afternoon?" I was like, "My wife and I got to go pick up a car. We just bought a car today." So,
congratulations,
I was like,
by the way.
Yeah, thanks. So I got home and I was like, "I'm gonna sit down." And I know Gaby does this 5 guys, so I'm gonna do the Trader X version of 5 guys. So coincidentally, I have 5 guys for you.
All right.
So if you have a couple minutes, we can run through them.
I think we can make time for it.
All right, so my first one for tomorrow that I dug into a little bit, and I'll be curious to see what you think of these guys, and be honest with me.
Okay.
So for tomorrow, Homer Bailey's going up against the Cubs in Chicago. And Bailey's got the 4th worst home run fly ball ratio in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of like Luis Valbuena against him tomorrow. Now, I will say Valbuena hits better on the road and hasn't hit a home run at home this year, so there's that. And that's my like disclaimer, I guess. But his ISO is about 100 points better against righties than lefties, so that's good against Bailey. And he has a wOBA that's about 70 points better against righties. So you know, I think to me he's not a bad play because he's pretty cheap on most sites. I think I mostly play on FanDuel, but I go out, you know, branch out a little bit. I think he's like 3,100 on FanDuel tomorrow, so that's pretty good price at third base if you're trying to fit him into a lineup where you've got some other higher priced guys. So again, I don't love him, but if you're trying to go cheap at third base or meet, you know, cheaper medium, whatever, I kind of like Valbuena tomorrow.
Yeah, I like Valbuena as well. He's on that long list of Cubs players who tends to just be kind of forgotten, marginalized, pushed over to the side.
Sure.
And when they start to hit, when that offense has a game where they hit on all cylinders, which, you know, at that stadium against Homer Bailey, you know, the ball leaves the park very quickly when he's tossing it. So I like that play a lot.
All right, so there's one. Second guy, I kind of like Carlos, or I do like Carlos Santana against Miley tomorrow. My disclaimer, I guess, with him is he's not markedly better against lefties than righties, and Miley's a lefty. But he has slightly better numbers across the board when he's hitting right-handed against left-handers.
Hmm.
He's had 3 home runs in the last week, and again, I try not to get too caught up in hot streaks, but, you know, baseball is a mental game, and when you're feeling good, you're feeling it. So I'll put a little bit of stock in that. Miley's actually right above, or maybe however you look at it, maybe right below, actually, Bailey in terms of home run fly ball ratio. He's got the 3rd worst in the league. And righties hit him better really across the board in any category you look at. Plus, it's in Arizona, so you got the park factor there. And Santana's actually pretty palatable in terms of price. Again, looking at third base, there's quite a few guys above Santana. He's creeping up a little bit, but he's still pretty palatable.
I would be ringing the bell again for that word.
Ding, ding, yeah.
Yes, very nice. I like that one as well. What else you got? Why don't you let's break it up a little bit. Let's throw the pitcher in here, then we'll finish it out.
Sure. All right, so I would actually kind of like to leave my analysis to this as one word, but I won't. And if I could, the word would be Padres. So I like Tim Hudson tomorrow, and I would just like to leave it at that because I feel like it's kind of self-explanatory. But anyways, Hudson's been pretty great all around this year. He's, you know, I think, what is he, like 38 or something like that? He might be even older. I don't know how he's doing it, but he's doing it. And he's been, like I said, he's been great all around, but he's been a little bit better at home. He's only allowing a .225 average to opposing hitters at home, which is coincidentally about 10 points higher than the entire Padres team average. And I think I know you don't love BVP, but I'll go there. The current Padres lineup is actually only hitting .232 against Hudson in their entire career. So again, BVP is a little iffy sometimes, but, you know, as a piece to the puzzle, it's not bad.
No, it has its place. I agree, definitely.
Sure. And lastly, I mean, he's not dirt cheap, Hudson, but you can get him for less than a guy like Bartolo Colon on most sites, less than Mark Burley. So, I mean, there's something to be said for facing the Padres with some of those numbers I just rattled off and paying less than Bartolo Colon. So, I, you know, again, it's kind of a cop-out going against the Padres or picking against the Padres, but I like Hudson tomorrow.
No, not a cop-out at all. And that's at Petco, correct?
It's actually in San Fran.
Oh, San Fran. AT&T, Petco. I guess technically there's not really much of a difference. Both of them are pitcher's havens, and I think there's something in the water in Atlanta, to be honest, because anyone who pitches there just pitches until they're 43 years old.
I know, right? It's unbelievable. It's, well, yeah, I mean, hopefully for guys like DeHaren, but yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible what they've, the culture that they've built there over the years. But you know what? That's best reserved for a podcast. They don't listen. They don't pay me to give my opinion about anything other than the day's plays. If I could, I would. But
they're right.
Yeah, we should probably move on. Who's your next hitter?
All right, so next one is Mr. Miguel Montero against Justin Masterson tomorrow. And, I've been following Masterson. I'm a Red Sox fan. So I've been following Masterson since he was in the minors here. And, you know, he was supposed to be the next, quote-unquote, Derek Lowe, which was an okay thing at the time. Now I don't know if I view it as the best thing. But lefties have always been a bit of a bugaboo for Masterson. And this year's no different. He's 14th worst in the league. He's got a 373 wOBA against lefties. And then on the flip side of that, all 10 of Montero's home runs this year have come against righties. His wOBA is about 240 points higher against righties, which is pretty ridiculous.
That's laughable.
Yeah, exactly. That's crazy. And he's actually top 25 in the league in both wOBA and weighted runs created plus against righties. So, you know, he's a pretty nice play against Masterson tomorrow. And you know, a lot of sites actually haven't caught up with their pricing on him. So you can get him relatively cheap. I mean, he's not, you know, bottom of the barrel guy, but you can get him a lot cheaper than some of the quote unquote top catcher plays.
Oh, I absolutely love that. And little known fact, when I was younger, I was actually heralded as the next Rob Lowe. Unfortunately, my chin never got there.
Next Chris Traeger, I like that.
My face never sculpted out the way they were projecting. So unfortunately,
you don't have those chiseled cheekbones, huh?
Yeah, I was gonna say I was forced to grow a beard. Yeah, to just mask put
behind
the beard.
Nobody knows. Yeah. All right. So last one, I got Alex Rios against Drew Smyly tomorrow. Smiley's got the dubious distinction of being in the quote unquote top 10 in terms of wOBA allowed to righties.
Yeah, he's bad.
And coincidentally, Rios is in the top 10 in terms of weighted runs created plus against lefties. So, you know, there's a nice little dichotomy there. Dang. And plus, there's the Texas Park factor, obviously. And Rios, you know, again, I don't want to put too much weight in this, but Rios is hitting a season high for this in terms of month splits. He's hitting .329 in June, so he's got a nice month going. And he's actually pretty cheap on most websites. Like on FanDuel, I didn't look on all sites, but on FanDuel, he's cheaper than guys like Drew Stubbs, Michael Saunders. I'd assume that's the same on draft day for the most part. So, you know, you can get Alex Rios a lot cheaper than some of those, well, guys like Trout and whoever, but you can get him cheaper than most, you know, middle of the road guys even.
Yeah, you know, my trust me, this is going to be loosely connected. My dad is an artist. And he had no clue what Instagram was. I finally got him to download it. He now has more followers than me on Instagram. He has like thousands of posts, and he's actually getting calls to be in Instagram-only digital art shows. And the parallel here is, you, my friend, were a season-long dinosaur. You have officially turned the clock forward. You've come out of the Jurassic period. You like Daily 2. And I think we can use this podcast spot right here to inspire anybody who is a season-long dinosaur. You can keep your Triassic period, your Cretaceous period, whatever it is, and you can move into the future as well. If he can do it, if Nick can do it, you can do it as well. Excellent analysis, my friend.
I was wondering where you were going with that. That was a good segue.
I was going to say, I had it in my mind, dude. It was just formulated
was
there the whole
dad,
time.
Dad, Instagram, okay. Well, I'll stick with it, but all right.
All right, my friend. Well, that is Nick Raducanu. Did I get it right that time?
Close. Raducanu.
Raducanu. Raducanu. Yep. Raducanu.
Close enough, man. No worries.
Nah, yeah, well, I'll get it one day, I promise. This isn't the last we're going to hear.
My wife barely gets it right, and it's her last name now, so, you know.
All right, well, you can follow him at Project Roto on Twitter. Make sure you head over to projectroto.com and plug and play his picks, and that way you don't have to yell at me if they end up failing today. You can yell at him for a change instead.
There you go. Take care, man. Thank you for having me on.
All right. Again, thank you very much to my buddy Nick. Great little bit right there. We're going to get into the last portion of our daily fantasy baseball analysis, bring you down the home stretch. Looking like the weather tonight, not going to be much of an issue except for the one game everybody's going to want to target, St. Louis at Colorado, 50% chance of rain. Seems like there's always got to be a chance of rain in Colorado just to keep all of us on edge, keep the stackers, the people who want to take only players from this game at bay at least a little bit. And Vegas actually has a couple of interesting lines this morning, so I'm going to go through them here for you. San Diego Padres at the San Francisco Giants. Tim Hudson, Nick just talked about him, minus 146 favorite in a 6.5 over-under. That's the best part about this game, is there are not a lot of runs predicted to be scored. And we all know that AT&T Park out there in San Francisco is a pitcher's haven. Really difficult to get enough lift on a fly ball to take it out of the stadium instead of it just being a long out. The New York Yankees at the Toronto Blue Jays. It's a 9-run total. A game you want to keep in mind. If you look last night what the Blue Jays did, there was definitely some value to be had in targeting that game just because of their offense. And I think, again, tonight you would be remiss if you ignored all the options in this one. So give it a look, especially once the lineups are released. There'll be some potential sources of value. And our very own Josh Shepherdson, who puts out his daily fantasy baseball picks to quick each day, I believe he targeted a few Blue Jays as well. So you can check out his article, kind of have a little direction on where to go with that. The Detroit Tigers at the Texas Rangers, 9.5 over-under. It's actually a pretty solid game to target. And you heard Nick talk about how Alex Rios taking on Drew Smyly. Smyly has just been absolutely awful against right-handed bats. Rios, of course, is in play, but I think you can also take a look at some of the other right-handed bats for the Rangers once that lineup comes out, and there might be a few other sources of potential value that you could toss into your roster as well. 9.5 runs is fairly high for a game outside of Coors Field. Minnesota at the Los Angeles Angels, C.J. Wilson sitting as a minus 180 favorite and a 7.5 over-under. If you're looking for those 10 points for the win, if you're one of those guys who hunts for those basically almost, you know, I'm not going to say guaranteed points, but close to it, C.J. Wilson might be your second pitcher tonight. I would not advise him being your first pitcher. I don't think he has the stuff, the strikeout potential to really bring it home. He induces a lot of ground balls. That's really where he gets his value from. And then Pittsburgh at Tampa Bay. Chris Archer started as a minus 157 favorite, moved down to a minus 140. And this is a 7-run over-under, so actually very close to one of the lowest totals of the night. And Chris Archer has been up and down, but you could probably look to him again, as a second pitcher tonight, not somebody I'm actively targeting, but if he fits into my roster, I will not have a problem with it. Now, Justin, he gave his five guys. Nick went ahead and relieved me of my duty tonight, but you're going to get no such relief. I'm still banking on you to give me two guys that I need to have in my daily fantasy baseball lineups. What do you got for me?
All right, I'm starting off here with Scott Van Slyke. He's going up against Danny Duffy, who's... if you look at his numbers, they look really good. ERA of around 2, his whip just barely 1. But if you look deeper, he's actually getting pretty lucky. He's got a 48% fly ball rate as opposed to 33.3 on the grounds, 18.7% line drive rate. So that gives almost 65% of at-bats end up in either line drives or fly balls. And Scott Van Slyke actually has the best ISO in the majors, better than Troy Tulowitzki against left-handed pitchers. Slashing 308, 471, 769 with a 241 weighted runs created and a 516 wOBA against lefties. And at only 7,850, I think that he's a guy with obviously tremendous power, huge upside, and with the way that Duffy seemingly is pitching, I think that some guys may be shied away from some of the Dodger bats, but I like them a lot tonight.
Yeah, I like Van Slyke a lot as well. And actually, Josh, I believe, wrote him up today in the picks to click. So you are a bloodhound on the right trail, my friend. You're sniffing up the right tree.
Yeah, Van Slyke's an exciting guy to me. He destroyed my Reds a couple weeks ago with a couple home runs. So
And I rostered him everywhere that night, by the way.
Yeah, I did not. I missed out on that, but I'm not going to be missing out again.
That was what, Cingrani?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say Cingrani. It's your homerism. You thought Cingrani was better than he actually was. I tried to tell you otherwise.
I try to be impartial, but now I've come to realize that Tony Cingrani has one pitch and it's not that good.
Yeah, he has one pitch and it's called let right-handed batters hit home runs.
Yeah, it's called throw it over the plate and hope they don't hit it hard.
Right, exactly. this last guy is the one that I alluded to earlier where I said you put a name in all caps, Lonnie Chisenhall. Tell me why we need to have your favorite player in Major League Baseball in our lineup tonight.
I love Lonnie Chisenhall, and he's a guy that... strangely enough, his salary, in my mind, I think changes more, fluctuates more up and down than anyone in the entire league. He's down at 7,450 now. He was up over 10,000 after a couple big games that he had. But if you look at his numbers against left-handers, he's slashing 389, 436, 528 with a 178 weighted runs created. But he's a guy who actually hits better and for better average when there's more pressure and runners on. When he's got runners on base, he's batting .407, runners in scoring position .372. And as we all know, Wade Miley likes to give up a lot of hits. He walks more batters than he should. So since Cleveland likes to bat Lonnie Chisenhall way down in the order for some stupid reason, he should be right after the heart of the order, I'm guessing fifth or sixth tonight, and have plenty of opportunities for some RBIs and some big hits.
All right. You've sold me on Lonnie Chisenhall, my friend. I will certainly be giving him a look. Want to tell you guys about some of the content we have at Fantasy Sports Live today before we move over to the Five Guys Fantasy Sports Live League. Got an interview I did with Michael Gallagher from RotoWorld, actually, talking about the current free agent situation in the NBA, how it will affect the daily fantasy basketball landscape this fall, and also what we predict is going to happen in the draft. We're actually going to be following that up with another podcast next weekend to be released early next week. After the draft has happened, of course, we'll talk about the implications, where players were selected, who might be a source of value. So you can check that out. Had a real good time hanging out with him. He's like an encyclopedia when it comes to knowledge. The guy doesn't write anything down. He quotes it all off the top of his head. Also, we told you yesterday that Jessica Kleinschmidt's daily fantasy football profile on Trent Richardson would be coming out. Unfortunately, that got delayed by a day, so you can actually check it out today. And Duger is going to have his golf picks for fantasy golf. Tees off Thursday morning. You can check them out probably about noon Eastern Standard Time today. So start making your fantasy golf lineups. Grab a brew. Watch some golf this weekend. There's nothing better than the game of kings. That's probably a lie. I'm not a huge golf fan myself, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't play. To be completely honest with you, lots of money to be won playing daily fantasy golf because the competition is just not as knowledgeable in sports like baseball, basketball, and football. So make sure you check out Duger's picks and get a couple of lineups in before they lock on early Thursday morning. Always keep that in mind. Golf locks early. We're used to evening lock times. Golf locks at like 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time each Thursday morning. So, Fantasy Sports Live League, if you haven't heard about it, I would love to see you there. I have a game called Five Guys that runs Monday through Friday. It's a double up. But if you finish in the top five, you actually get entry into my exclusive free roll on Saturday where the top five guys or girls, if you happen to swing that way, win money. So I would love to have you there. It's basically the tournament where you can come hang out with all of the contributors, the authors, all the personalities from Fantasy Sports Live, and have a good time. We've got leaderboards, running totals, etc. Last night, Cameron 1551, RCF 5415, Renee Miller, BCell25, and Mattress 223 all punched their ticket to Saturday's free roll. I want to see you punching your ticket at some point this week, so head over to fantasysportslive.com, click on today's podcast update article, and if you scroll down to the bottom in the section where it says Fantasy Sports Live League, there's an invitation to join. Do not delay. Head over there now. That is all for us today on the Fantasy Sports Live podcast. Thank you very much for sharing a portion of your day with us, and we will see you back here tomorrow. Peace out.